Hello? Nope. I forgot to play the freaking intro music. Oh well. Hello? Good evening. I feel like I'm really loud. Am I really loud? Maybe I'm just yelling. We're here. I don't know. There's always an adjustment before we start this. Well, I don't know. We'll say we're good. Okay, gentlemen. Good evening. Welcome to the Paintball Ruined My Life livestream. We are going to discuss this evening Dead Man's Walk. There was a Dead Man's Walk, the last tournament in Ohio. We're going to discuss that. You know, what's the deal with Dead Man's Walks? The pros and cons, you know, and we're going to watch some Dead Man's Walks that have happened in the past. We'll talk about USA rosters and a little bit about NXL Europe, which we will start off with. But we're going to, you know, kill a little bit of time and just see how everyone's doing first. Hopefully everybody's well. This fine evening, the United States of America is playing Belgium in 58 minutes. Best channel in the world. Which one? This one? No. There's way better channels. You know, like the Blue's Clues highlights channel. That's what I'm watching. I think that's the best. Okay, the Dead Man's Walk, the Holy Grail play. I don't know. I would rather shoot five guys off the break. If one guy could shoot five guys off the break, that's the Holy Grail play. I like it. Five guys off the break. Okay, NXL Europe happened this past weekend. I thought I had more notes than that. I guess I'm just going to read them as we go. Happened in Dreux, France. No, it didn't. Sorry, those are my upcoming notes. The next tournament is happening in Dreux, France. And we're just going to go over the winners and, you know, maybe talk about the standings in Europe for a little bit. And this is one of the tournaments. They have one a year. So in Europe now, they're in the National X-Ball League Europe division. There are three tournaments. And one of them is like an invitational only. So it's just for the semi-pro, pro, and W NXL teams. As we can see right here, the Rangers Warsaw, I'm pretty sure it's ALA Rangers Warsaw, took first place. Shock, kind of known as Vegas Shock a little bit here in the NXL semi-pro, took second place. Joy Division in third. In the WNXL, we have Dracina, I think so. I hear that all the time, and I still don't know. First place, Belladonna's took second, and Karma in third. In Pro 3v3, we have Shock, Ballern, Factory, something else, too. They had something else on their name. I cut it off so it fit better on there. Breakout, Spa, taking third place. In Semi-Pro, we have Manchester Firm, followed by Five Star in second place. And in third, the Toulouse Purple. We have another slide, and here's just the rankings for the pro men's division. We have Warsaw, Rangers Warsaw up there in first place with 400 points, winning the first two-thirds of the events. And I guess they could fold down the rankings if they did like really bad. We have ALA Warsaw in second place, LFT, that's pretty much the Tauntauns. Ronhold Dynamite, then Shock, and there's a bunch of other ones. In last place, though, we have Outrage, with two last places. They're a little bit reminiscent of New York Extreme. New York Extreme got dead last in the first two tournaments. And they were able to turn around in Ohio, I think, got like 17th or 15th or something like that. They're still in last, but certainly higher than 2 points now. I think they have like 60. We went over that last weekend. That's, you know, NXL Europe. I didn't watch any of it. It's kind of a grind, so did not watch any. That's about it. NXL Europe. We might as well just jump to Dead Man Walk stuff. Now let's do more Europe stuff. USA rosters. Some of the USA rosters, the women's roster, was announced a few months ago. We covered those. But very recently, in the last few days, they announced the men's roster. Right there, we can see Marcelo Margot, Ryan Greenspan, Rainey Stanzek, Chris Shear, Keith Brown, and Colt Lukau. Pretty cool to see Colt in there. I think that all of these guys, except for Colt, have probably played for Team USA in the past. There's more guys, though. We have Jason Edwards, Scott Stewart, Kyle Berry. I don't know why I had to read his name. Jacob Edwards, and Harrison Fry. Also, I'm pretty sure all Team USA guys except for Scott Stewart. So really cool that Scott and Colt are getting the look or picked to play for Team USA. Both very, I would say, you know, deserving players. And they are going to play September 2nd and 3rd in Drew, France, for the European World Championships. The veterans also got announced with Ryan Greenspan again. Rainey Stanzek, really? You know, I looked at these earlier. I didn't really think about Rainey being old enough to play. Okay. Nick Sloviak, Mark Ireland, Marky Ireland, Ryan Moorhead. And then we have Corey Field. And damn it, I looked these some of these guys up earlier. We have Thomas Mantoni. There we go. Thomas Mantoni's been around for a little bit. Ryan Podesta. And Ryan's always kind of been playing on these veteran teams. We have Greg. Oh, man, why did I not like... I like even looked these guys' names up and I just didn't write them phonetically down for some reason. We have Greg. Sorry, Greg. And then we have Mark Johnson coaching up the veteran teams. You know, Mark might be playing as well. He looks like he's in civilian clothing, but he could be playing as well. Those are your men's, veterans, and regular, you know, younger man, kind of younger. I mean, some of these guys are on the veterans team too, which is kind of interesting. Some of your teams, we'll talk about Dead Man's Walk in a second here. I might just go straight to it. I'm going to drink a little coffee and then we'll do it. Rainey's player pick is my all-time favorite. What even is it? I don't even really like think about it. This one or maybe another one? Is he in this one? Oh, I was looking down. Rainey's hair is crazy. I'm kind of jealous. Maybe that's all it is. Yeah. Back out of live chat and like the video. Yeah, give the live stream a like. If you're here, give the live stream a like. We're about to discuss the Dead Man's Walk. I prepared a little bit for the Dead Man's Walk today. Got some clips. I was able to find some like cool clips of stuff. So let's just do it right now. Dead Man's Walk. Dead Man's Walk. Let's make that go away. Let's do this. I'm going to put my headphones on so I can hear it. So this is tournament last weekend. Like always, you can watch all this over on the Major League Paintball Plus YouTube, not YouTube channel, I'm sorry, website. You can see their logo right there in the bottom right-hand side of the screen. There's a link below if you want to, you know, go subscribe. Actually watch paintball. Okay.
And bodies are starting to fall all over the place.
Let's set this up a little bit. So we can see Aftershock on the left-hand side, Jungle Cats on the right-hand side. Jungle Cats with a pretty big body advantage, too. I mean, you can see them at, like, the center 50 wall. They got the center 50 snake. It looks like Dorito 2, this snake side back kind of tower. I think that's all. There very well could be someone, you know, behind my head. Doesn't look like it. Looks like we have a 4 on probably a 2. We have Jet in the first snake. And then that gentleman behind him in that tower. We'll let this play out, and then we'll kind of rewind it and talk about it. You know.
And bodies are starting to fall all over the place as the Jungle Cats come on the attack.
This is the Jungle Cats that we saw defeat Red Legion yesterday, so immediately answering. I mean, Walker, you got to be pretty impressed with how the Jungle...
There's also quite a few angles of this, too. There were some actual replays that are pretty good, so they're at the end of this little... It's only a minute and a half.
Cats are playing this event. You know, it's a rookie pro team, you guys... Yep. Here from Carbon Paintball.
Oh man.
Oh, wait a second. Oh no, we went to sleep on him. Everyone went to sleep on Jet. It's still though to be decided as there's a body on the D side. Jet's gonna hit the afterburners and try to get all the way onto their side of the field.
Jet's going to hit the afterburners.
I have a feeling that Jet did a dead man walk.
I think that we missed it, and he did, yeah.
Yeah, because it didn't look like everyone was dead.
I think when everybody was dying, Jet just stood up and walked off and then pulled his gun up and started shooting people.
Crafty.
Yeah, the refs were over there like, okay, so are we sure?
I like the pro shield.
Or what exactly happened?
Well, guess what that means? That means everyone else gets bonus balls for the rest of the game.
Oh, man.
Yeah, 100%.
Look at that. Jungle Cats over there are like, all right, let's talk about it.
So of the jet ski, we believe a dead man's...
So here's a replay. Different camera angle.
Walk.
So you can see, yeah, Jet right there on the left-hand snake.
So he just comes out of snake one.
Yeah, nobody shot
him.
Yeah,
nobody
there,
shot
yeah.
him unless somebody maybe shot him cross field. Apparently not.
He's all the way up to the 50 before he turns around and shoots him.
Polar's there's another angle,
thinking,
too.
Oh, everything's good. Coast is clear. How am I going to get shot by my own guy? He just shot me. This is going to
right
be
here.
Though. Yeah, he just comes out of the snake one. Oh. Loads his gun. Our cameraman thinks he's dead, too. Everyone thinks he's dead. We thought he's dead. And he gets right beside Oler.
Stays in bounds.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty much all. Ooh. Then they start the next point. One thing I thought was kind of interesting is they show, like, this angle. Now, where was it?
Look like maybe comes out of snake one.
Yeah, nobody shot
yeah, nobody
him.
Nobody shot him unless somebody look like maybe shot him cross field.
I were,
not,
I'm like
all the way up to the 50 before he turned.
Maybe I just
good. Coast is clear. How am I gonna get shot by my own guy? He just shot me.
This I don't know. Whatever. I don't know what the hell I'm looking for. I thought there was a spot where he like kind of looks like he gets shot at a little bit. Dead man's walk. So yeah, obviously. I mean, if you guys aren't you know super familiar with paintball, a dead man's walk is you know when you pretend like you're dead and just walk down the field and hope no one shoots at you. And because you're not shot, you know, technically you're alive, so you can like pick your gun up and start shooting at people. Kind of, I would say perfectly.
And bodies are starting to fall.
Perfectly executed by Jet here. And I'm trying to think of the order. I want to do this. So, you know, it's certainly not the first time there's been a dead man's walk. What the fuck, dude? I thought I had another clip in here. Hold on, let me see if I just didn't put it in here real fast and I can find it, like, real fast. Nope, that's not it. That's not it. Damn it! Okay, I don't know. What I was going to say is dead man walks aren't like, you know, extremely rare. They certainly have happened in the past. I did have earlier, I had a clip of Red Legion. I had a Russian guy doing one. The fuck did I do with it? I don't know. Okay, but weirdly enough, I was looking for other dead man's walks. And look, we found another one by Jet. So this is 2022. The Division 3 Finals, and we have Jet just doing another dead man's walk. There's obviously maybe no commentary over this, but there's another one right there. So it's obviously, you know, not something he's too unfamiliar with. He's certainly done them in the past. There it looks like probably working, you know, successfully again. With a dead man's walk. I don't know, you know, I'm not a fan. I don't like it. I don't know. I don't like it. So I'm definitely, we'll come back to this and I'll talk over that a little bit. I'm definitely that guy though. Like just like last live stream, we were talking about Jordan Boyum, for Collision shooting through the crack. And I'm like, man, I really like that stuff. Because, like, it's cool. It's, like, kind of creative. I know a lot of guys don't like bounce shots because, I don't know, it just kind of feels weird and cheap. You know, you're not actually shooting at me. It's, like, this weird ricochet thing. But, like, I kind of like it. I think that it adds, like, another dimension to it, right? I can look for, like, these weird bounce shots. Or I like to creep around in the open when I can. So I like that. That's, to me, like, a part of the fun of paintball is just doing, like, kind of weird things and... you know, kind of just having fun a little bit. And I'd kind of put that into this category a little bit, but it also dips into that, like, category of, like, just not being very, like, nice, you know? I don't know. So I put, like, a pros and cons thing together. I'll kind of, I guess, just let this play and I'll talk over it. Pros and cons. Technically, I don't know if this is a pro, but technically it's legal, you know? You know, there's no, like, rules against it. You know, it's just kind of like one of the trickery parts of the game. It's like a super bluff, you know, like you're like, oh, I'm walking out. Are they going to shoot me? Are they not going to shoot me? You never really know what's going to happen. You're kind of bluffing whether you hit or not. And, you know, it could be, you know, considered a smart play, right? Where the other team's just not really ready for it. You know, you're kind of exposing their communication and their awareness problems. Maybe, you know, like there's a part in here, right, where we can see Jungle Cats player Bianca right here, even counting all the dead players, right? Visibly, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 dead guys. So, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, he thinks everybody's dead. So maybe not necessarily awareness and communication problem. Maybe just, you know, not ready for it because, you know, the dead man's walk's not something you see a lot. There's definitely a lot of reward, though. Obviously, high risk. It was a 2-on-4. Then all of a sudden now it's a 1-on-3 or 1-on-4 if you walk out of your bunker and get shot. But if you're able to turn it around and win a 2-on-4, you know, that's a pretty good, like, reward for taking that big risk. It's also entertainment value, you know, like people either like it or hate it. And it, you know, sometimes can work, sometimes it doesn't. But it certainly gets us, like, talking about stuff and makes it kind of interesting. You know, they made a bunch of drama at the tournament, which made it maybe more exciting. I mean, we're here talking about it right now. So it definitely, you know, has some sort of entertainment value. But there's, I would say, things that are probably bad. You know, I kind of think that in a way it's not safe because a lot of the times, like when players put their guns down, it's like signaling that they're out. But like if, you know, somehow we like, or if, let me go back to that. I'm like thinking about like multiple things at a time. So what did I actually write? I said, when a player puts their gun in the air or acts shot, you stop shooting, right? Kind of just because they're shot, you don't want to hurt people, so you just kind of stop shooting. But, like, if dead man's walks become, like, more normalized, we're certainly going to see, like, people just getting shot all the time, right? I mean, you're going to constantly have your hand in the air or maybe your hand on your head because at one point in Europe, this was a big problem, right? I mean, dead man's walks were a big problem and, like, maybe not a huge problem, but they were certainly something that was happening more than at least in the U.S. So they made it a rule that you have to put your hand on your head. I don't even know if they're still doing that, but for a while there, you had to have your hand on your head to signify you were out, like the whole time. So you're running off the field and you had to have your hand on your head. If you don't, then, you know, you can get shot and, you know, whatever. So it could definitely lead to more bonus balling and then, like, you know, people throwing little temper tantrums on the sidelines. And I just think it's kind of unsportsmanlike. You know, I think it's kind of generally viewed as kind of a cheap, kind of weird play. You know, it doesn't revolve or it doesn't really involve a lot of skill. I mean, you certainly have to, like, you know, understand paintball to do it. But it doesn't take a lot of skill. There's not a lot of athleticism. And it's not an actual paintball move. You know, it relies more on just, like, people being gentlemen and not, like, just shooting the crap out of everybody all the time. Right? It's kind of like, you're breaking the, like, decorum of paintball in a way. I thought of, like, some other, like, situations where you're, like, in other sports that, like, you kind of, like, break the unwritten rules a little bit and nobody likes it. Like, in baseball, when there's a no-hitter, you definitely don't bunt and try to break up a no-hitter just to be an asshole, right? You swing and you don't bunt and just be a jackass. Same thing in baseball, you know, people aren't liking bat flips and people standing around looking at home runs when they hit them. This used to be a thing in cycling, but if the leader of the cycling, like the race, used to have them, if it's less and less now, but if the leader of the race had a mechanical, like a flat tire or something, a lot of the times the race would slow down for them because they, you know, the flat tire thing's kind of just like wonky. It's not really like a display of your being a better writer. You know, you just kind of got unlucky. basketball, you know, if you're up 5, if you're up 10 points and there's 20 seconds left, you kind of dribble out the clock, right? You're not going to go and, you know, try to shoot a 3 and just run the score up. So there's definitely a lot of other sports where, you know, there's these unwritten rules, but they're not actually rules. And sometimes, you know, the players pay the price for it. You know, all these bat flip guys are getting hit by pitches more. And, you know, if you're trying to run up the score in basketball, you're probably going to get fouled more. And I also just think it's a bad example. You know, I don't want, like, divisional teams doing this, because you don't want Division 5 teams and Division 4 teams doing dead man's walk, because it's just going to lead to, like, chaos at the paintball field. People are going to be arguing about it and fighting and all kinds of stuff. They're going to be like, that guy was shot, or he walked out of bounds, or, you know, there's going to be just some sort of fight. And it's kind of the same way I feel about, like, sideline coaching. It might be okay in pro, but I definitely don't like it at the divisional level. And, you know, dead man's walks aren't really a problem. It's not like it's like a common thing, or it's, you know, something that's bad. Mainly, I think, because the field changes so much. I mean, back in the day in woods ball, it was a far more common problem than it is today. Mainly just because the woods ball fields, you know, you could hide in the woods, and now the fields are just so open, you're just more likely to kind of get shot. So I don't know. I don't really like them because I think it's cheap, and it's kind of like not a part of paintball in a way. It's kind of like, yeah. It just seems like a little cheap. It's like, you know, in basketball, when they look for like technical fouls and stuff like that, you know, one of the things they look for is like, are players making a basketball play? You know, are you actually going for the ball, or are you like pretending you are so you can elbow this guy, you know? So dead man's walks like aren't really a paintball play in a way. Mark, I could see Mark doing a dead man's walk, but there's also like, I don't know. I don't like dead man's walks. So I'm not a fan of it. One thing I do in rec sometimes, though, is, you know, I'll be in like the back snake corner or the back center, and just be like, you know, standing in the back center, and then I'll just like walk out of the bunker, and I'll just like walk to the next bunker. So not run or shoot back or anything. I'll just like Jet did. You just kind of stand up and walk. I'll do that sometimes in rec, and I'll like walk to the next bunker, or I'll like walk down the field and just get in the snake. I sometimes do that, but I'm not like, you know, I don't know, a whole full dead man's walk is a whole nother thing. And it's when we're playing rec, like 20 on 20, so I don't know. What do you guys think? Dead man's walk, good, bad, awful? Are they, what, I don't know. Let me know in the chat. But first, this live stream sponsored by, oh, is my thing working? Oh, there we go. BFPgear.com. You know, they got a lot of Hydra stuff. They are a dealer selling a lot of Hydra stuff. Also, you know, sponsoring Paintball Fit, so it sort of makes sense. I would say this is the newest harness on the market, the Hydra Adapt Paintball Pod Pack. Coming in one size. No, there are two sizes. I kind of thought there was one size, and I was like, why is there this thing here? A 5 and an 8, you know, Hydra make a lot of good stuff. Everybody really likes their Hydra black knee pad. Maybe not everybody, you know, but they're very popular knee pad. You can find them over at bfpgear.com. There's a link in the description if you want to find that. They got all kinds of stuff. I thought that said airsoft. That says airsoft. You know, you can get airsoft stuff there if you want. They're not going to have a ton of airsoft stuff, because it is a paintball store, but they got a lot. You know, I really think these tanks are so cool. Like these little teeny carbon fiber tanks. I kind of want to get one and like just use it on my EMAG. Get like, you can probably shoot a hopper. I could shoot a hopper on that. It's not that much though. I'd like to have like a 28 4500. A 28. And I want it to be this long though, so I can still kind of shoulder it, you know? BFPgear.com. The best BFP gear. Pew pew, Mike. Thought about you today a little bit. I go to the dentist tomorrow. That's not why I was thinking about you. I think it's great. Lots of people. What do we think? You know, good, bad. Yeah, it's like Dead Man's Walks. Like, I don't know. I get it. Like, I think I get it. But I don't know. I just don't like the, weirdness of it. So I looked at your, what'd you say, Robert said. I looked at your recommendations recently on your website. Would you still recommend the HK Army Aerolite Carbon Fiber Tank as a first tank? You know, probably not. Not nowadays, honestly. Let's change that stuff. Probably not. Okay. I would say Ninja for sure. I mean, that was, I put that for sure when Ninja was still gone. I would do Ninja. I mean, I like Ninja still. I mean, I took apart one of their regulators the other day just to see what it was like, to see what, if it was like the older stuff they manufactured, because they have a Ninja paintball, or like one of the best companies. They went into kind of, I don't know if they went into business. They like changed ownership and didn't make stuff for a little bit, and now they're kind of back. And I like took apart one of the newer regulators last week just to kind of see what it was like. And it seemed pretty much exactly the same. So I would probably say Ninja is what I would do. Yeah. I mean, the Powerhouse is also very good, but they're going to get up into that like higher price point. So if it's like your first tank, a value is probably better. Chris Martin says he picked up the Adapt Pack. It's fantastic. Ooh. A Swedish massage. What's the difference between a sweet? Well, I don't even know. What's the difference between any massage? They all seem kind of the same to me. Okay, what else do I have on this list? We got some other random shit we can talk about. PNT, Kinman Covey over here on, there's a link below to check this out. Yeah, he's been doing these, like, I don't know what happened there. He will kind of play a quick portion of this. He's been doing these, I don't know, highlights, top moves of the tournament, doing a little bit way more analysis than I have. And he actually has a lot of more highlights that I just completely missed as well. He does a great job. There's a link below if you want to check out more highlights from the tournament. I would go watch that. Kinman Covey over here on the PNT, the Paintball News something. We had that. Maybe there's another couple other things we might mention. What is going on? There we go. I'm like, what is... That's not what I wanted to be. Yo, yo. What's up, Jinx? Yeah, man, I don't know what happened. I had, I had a video of a Russian Legion player doing it, too. Of a Russian Legion guy doing a Dead Man's Walk, but I don't know what the hell happened to it. I'm trying to find it really fast or something. I don't know. Maybe I just didn't download it. Oh, well. It's just kind of interesting that, we found two videos of Jet doing Dead Man's Walks. Interesting. Summarize, what do you say? Updated the recommended gear by year. Also, affiliate links to the better used stores would be cool. Sell those. Man, affiliate links are so dead, though. I don't know. It's completely dead. They're, completely dead. I mean, affiliate links on YouTube kind of used to be a thing, right? But I'm not doing tons of videos like those. I'm not check the link in the description, people aren't doing that shit, and people just aren't doing it. If you ask them to, maybe if I was to sell if I had a video that was the top 10 best paintball things, those would sometimes work, but certainly less and less. And then the website just doesn't get any traffic at all anymore. I mean, because Google's just like killed the internet, so I don't get any traffic hardly at all. Affiliate links are no go. Oh, I'd take a part of honey. I'd take a part of that honey skim. Yeah, they're definitely, I mean, they're still around. Like, they're still affiliate stuff, but just in general, affiliate marketing, like, actually affiliate links, like, the number one way that people were using the affiliate things is you'd make a website, and then, you know, you'd get listed in Google, and people would visit the website and click the link and go buy something on Amazon. But Google's, like, destroyed all those websites. Like, you just can't, like, they don't exist anymore, which is good because, you know, those search results were shitty. You don't just want to get to a website. And the only reason the website exists is to get you to click Amazon links. Like, that's what, like 5 years ago, that's like half of the websites on the internet were all just to get you to click Amazon links. Anyway. Yeah, sometimes the paintball ones, if we offer like discount codes, those are the ones that work because, you know, you're actually, you know, benefiting from buying it. You're like, oh, I have to get a deal on this. I might buy this, you know. Anyway, enough about affiliate links. What is they looking for? Why can't I find this? I don't know. We'll open this. You know, I'm going to start this new thing. I always talk about starting new things. You know, one of these, something's going to work. There's this thing called the Paintball Recovery Institute that is now accepting new patients. And if you want to find out more about the institute, you can put your name and email address in there. And then when the institute has more information, they will contact you. The Paintball Recovery Institute. PaintballRecoveryInstitute.com. I almost went with an org, but I was like, it's an institute, not an organization. So there's going to be some stuff coming out involving that soon. The Paintball Recovery Institute. Look out for Asian paintball guys. Why are we doing that? I know too many Asian paintball guys. I'll bet like most of the people I play paintball with are Asian paintball guys. Maybe not most. Maybe like 40%, 30%. It was a 6'4 Russian man, Chris Martin. Anyway, what are we doing? Chris Martin says, is this for people whose lives were ruined by paintball? You bet you right it is, Chris. The Paintball Recovery Institute. So if you're suffering from the affliction, the Institute will help you with recovery in your path to cleanliness. Something like that. Paintball Recovery Institute. Diddly-doot-doot. Hey, David. What are we talking about? Why are we looking out for Asian paintball guys? I am an Asian paintball guy. Andrew says, I play with so many Asians, I feel like a GI in Vietnam in most missions. Eric. Can I sell Hormesis headbands there? Where are we selling stuff? I want to go to Vietnam. Why are we talking about Asia all of a sudden? I want to go to Vietnam. I really want to go to France. Forgot what I was going to say there, and I was like, France. I really want to go to France. I don't think I'd come back. You know, just watching cycling and like, I don't know. France is just cool looking. Although it just kind of looks like California in a way, too. I'm like, You know, southern France just kind of looks like here. I mean, it just looks like Napa or like the foothills of California in a way. It doesn't really look like that much different. Ooh, nightball for the birthday. On a Tuesday, that's cool. We were playing on Wednesday nights, and Wednesday nights was always like, I don't know, Wednesday nights was always fun. It was always like, man, it's Wednesday. Like, it felt like we weren't supposed to be playing paintball. That's what I always thought about, like, the paintball tournaments, too. If you're playing on, like, Friday or Thursday, it's just kind of weird. You're like, oh, playing paintball on Thursday just doesn't feel right. Oh, the local massage place just got busted for offering more than massages. That's not common, though. They're actually busting those places. I went into one of the... I've never gone to a massage parlor. I've never even gotten, like, a massage. I was just never really into the massage thing. But I walked into a massage parlor once to see what was going on. they made me leave. It was very interesting. This was so long ago. I was in there for, like, literally 20 seconds, and they knew right away. They're like, sir, do you need a massage? And I was like, I don't know. And they're like, can you go, please? It was very weird. I was like, all right. That was a long time ago. I mean, that was probably like 20 years ago. That was my experience in the massage parlor. Yeah, those are our paintball topics. The Paintball Recovery Institute. I kind of like it. I think it's kind of fun. So that's not what I meant to hit. I meant to hit this button. Yeah, next week we'll do part two. We'll do the second installment of dead paintball gun brands or whatever. Undercover. What happened to undercover? I should go like undercover at like a paintball store. You know how those people do like those like, oh, I'm an old man, and I'm going to go pretend to skateboard now, or like, I don't know, you know, like, Kyrie Irving did those, like, Uncle Drew, when he'd dress like an old man and go play basketball. I should do that at a paintball store. Stupid. You think they'd know? People probably know it was me. I couldn't, you know, kind of stand out. Brad, ask about shaking hands. What about shaking hands at the tournaments? Mark, do you think that we shouldn't shake hands or that we should shake hands? I don't know how you feel about it. I could see you not liking it. I think that we do it. I mean, I don't know why not. Give me a good reason not to. I don't know why not to. You know, I think about like, why you should, and I could probably give you a lot of reasons why we should do it. I mean, I think that, like, you should because, I don't know, it is just a game. And I think, you know, you watch it, like, the NBA Finals and, like, you know, the World Cup and shit, and those guys, like, invest way, way, way more time. I kind of remember talking about it. I don't really remember, though. You know, those guys invest so much time. Their whole lives, literally, every moment of their life is dedicated to this sport. And, you know, if they can lose and they're fine, you know, going and shaking hands, I don't know why we can't do it. You know, like, they just play paintball on the weekends for fun. And, like, even at the pro level, like, they're not playing for anything. Like, I mean, you literally get nothing when you win the tournament. There's like, here's $400 or some bullshit. So it's like, you don't actually get anything if you win. So it's kind of all just for fun. And I think that like, especially in a sport that's like really small, where like everyone knows everybody and stuff, I think it's important to keep like the camaraderie or like, you know, we're really just trying to have a good time, you know? So try to keep that like atmosphere is important. Yeah. Shaking hands in the prelims? Yeah, I don't know. I don't care. It's not that big a deal to me. I mean, I get if it took a bunch of time, but it's kind of like, you know, the pits are right there. You're literally going to walk past them anyway. I don't know, Mark. Didn't Oliver, there's that story about Oliver spitting in his hand and like shaking Bart's hand. You could do that. Although I think that they say that Oliver thought that that was like cool. Like, you know, back in the day in the Wild West when you'd be like, and you'd spit in your hand to like, you know, solidify a deal. I think that that's what Oliver thought, and he might have been a little confused. So I don't think it was like, you know, disrespectful or whatever. You could try that. I don't got a problem with it. I don't know. I mean, the last time, I mean, we did it. I don't remember, like, I kind of think back to like tournaments and like, dude, it's been so long since I've played a turn, like a paintball tournament. That I don't really even remember doing that. Like, yeah. I mean, I definitely remember doing it at the PSP sometimes, but I don't remember if we did it every match or whatever. I think it's good. Keep doing it. Mark, I'm gonna see if they'll do it before the matches. That's what we should do. Before and after. Before, in the middle. Yeah. Pushed a porta potty over. Yeah, I don't want to do that. That's, I don't want to do that. That's how you get like HP pylori or whatever. Yeah, I thought about trying to play. I thought about playing a tournament, Chris, but I don't want to play the CEPL. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to play the CEPL. A 7-minute handshake. I like that. Just 7 minutes straight. No shaking or just a... Yeah, I like the before and after, Andrew, because you get like the feeling of like what it's like before the match and then after the match. So like before the match, you might be cool. Then after the match, you know, it might be kind of crazy. I like it. Yeah, it's been so long since I played a tournament. I don't know. But we definitely did it at like... We definitely did in swimming. No, not swimming. I don't know why I said swimming. Definitely did baseball. We definitely... I don't know. I'm trying to think about water polo. Because that's the other sport that I would have played most recently team-wise. And I don't know if we did that then either. I don't remember. Honestly, don't. But I think we should have. Handshaking is good. You missed everything. What else are we going to talk about? Give me some other cool topics to talk about. I don't want to talk about. I go to the dentist tomorrow. How was everyone's 4th of July? I didn't really do much. Everyone was like gone. Everyone was all disparate doing other things. So I didn't do shit, actually. I'm okay with that, though. Yeah, Speedos. I actually thought about that. I was like, man, in water polo, did we get out of the pool? And were we shaking hands on deck? That's what I was trying to think about. I was like, I don't think so. I mean, I know that, like, I've watched water polo somewhat recently, and when they play in Europe, they do. They, like, shake hands after the match on the deck. They, like, get out of the pool. I don't know. Definitely did it in baseball for sure. Chris Martin. Chris always with the good questions. We'll see if this is any good. When you worked at the paintball store, did you find working on markers being therapeutic? Yeah, kind of. I don't know. Maybe. What was your favorite and least favorite markers to service? I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't say therapeutic, but I didn't, like, dislike it that much. I don't know. It's difficult because, like, yeah, I didn't really dislike it when I didn't own the store. Because when I didn't own the store, I only worked like 2 days a week. So I wasn't there that much. So when I worked on guns, it wasn't that big deal. You know, I'd do it once a week. You know, I'd do it for like 6 hours a week or something, 8 hours or something like that. It wasn't crazy. But then owning the store, when I was there every day, having to fix stuff every day, I started to not like it. Especially because, like, as me, the owner of the store, I gotta do other shit too. Like, there's all this other shit I gotta do. So I started to not like it. And especially because I had to do it all the time. Like, every day I had to fix stuff at some point. So I started to not like it. And then hiring people, I just, like, totally didn't fix stuff anymore. I would, like, come help or, you know, answer questions and do that stuff. But, yeah, so I don't, but I don't dislike it. I even, like, think now, I'm like, there's been times where I'm like, man, I don't really dislike fixing guns. Like, I kind of miss it a little bit, but I can't go to Ion. I'd like to go to Ion, but I can't do that, unfortunately. There's this mosquito flying around. So I didn't, like, I don't know, I didn't hate it, but I just, it doing it so much just got, like, annoying. For sure, the worst guns to fix, electric autocockers. Any electric cocker. I don't mind just regular autocockers. They're actually not bad. Any electric ones, I could not stand. I mean, dude, fucking electric cockers. Didn't like them. Because autocockers, to me, autocockers are one of those things that, like, when you're served, like, timing a cocker. Oh, yeah, Chris. I do want to get that Matrix. When you're servicing a cocker, when you're, like, timing a cocker, it's not like a computer, right? Like, I think about computers where it's like, oh, this is what's wrong. Change this to a 2. It's like, oh, okay, it's going to work, you know? Cockers are, there's a feel to it, right? You have to, like, feel, you have to understand what the lug is supposed to feel like when I pull the trigger. Like, oh, the trigger spring's a little too soft or whatever, or I don't know, you know, whatever. The hammer's too, whatever. There's all kinds of things that, like, it doesn't sound right or, like, it doesn't feel good. So there's lots of, I don't know, ways fixing cockers. And then the electronic ones came and it kind of got rid of all that stuff. They kind of made it so, like, rather than the feel of the gun, you couldn't, like, tune it or make it work to feel like we'd been doing for 20 years. Now it was like, oh, you've got all these electronic things on it and you have to, like, adjust all the settings in the board versus, like, the feel of it. You couldn't just turn this and back this off a little bit or, you know, adjust the, you know, the three-way needs to, you know, the three-way, the cocking rod, not the cocking rod, the, like, fucking timing rod needs to come back or, you know, it wasn't that anymore. It was like all these electronic settings and it was just a pain in the ass. Like, it just took forever. And those guns weren't supposed to be electronic anyway. I talk about it all the time. The autococker wasn't even supposed to be, like, mechanical or, yeah, it was. It wasn't supposed to be semi-auto. It was a pump gun. They put all that crap on the front of it. It became semi-auto. And then you put more crap on it. Then it becomes electric. And it just gets, like, there's just too much shit on it. You know, it wasn't ever supposed to be like that. It's just all kind of, like, cobbled together to make it work. So they kind of just didn't work well. So 100% electric guns are the worst. And I would say the Tippmanns and Spiders, you know, Tippmanns and Spiders, the spider style guns or Tippmanns were very easy to fix. Like, I'm very proficient at them. Like, I could probably take apart an A5. The A5 might be a little hard. I could do a 98 blindfolded 100%. Like, fully disassembled over there, blindfolded, I could feel it together. That might not be that hard, though. Pretty quickly, I could feel it together. So I put together so many of those guns that it was, like, you know, not bad to fix those. It was kind of just, like, mindless. Yeah, I'd say Titmans and Spiders, 100%. Just because, like, one of the good things about, like, making, like, fixing stuff or, like, doing that stuff is, like, just making it work, right? That's, like, the good part. There's a better word for that. That's, like, the gratifying part is, you know, making it work. And when it works, it's like, cool, I fixed that. sorta. And Titmans, you could get through those really quick. Titmans and Spiders, I could just bang those things out. And I would rather do that, right? I would rather the thing take me 20 minutes or like 5 minutes, you know, rather than me get some weird old gun that takes like 2 hours. I got to like hacksaw something off and like file this thing down and like do a bunch of crazy shit. I'd rather it just work and I could just do it really quick. So electric cocker is the worst. We'll go like Titman Spider are the best, maybe. Mags, what are we talking about mags for? What size O-ring? A 15? I don't know if we're talking about 15s. Yeah, cockers? I don't know. Gush says he has four of them. Four cockers to fix. Every one of them has something different wrong. I don't mind cockers. I mean, one of the hard parts about fixing stuff nowadays is like Chris Martin in the chat has a old LED. I think it's an LED. It might be an OLED matrix, like a DM3 or whatever. And man, you know, the paintball store, it'd have been easy. I have like all the tools and I got like air right here and like gauges, whatever I need. Now I'm like, damn, I only got Allen wrenches and like a couple random tools. I don't like have all the cool stuff I used to have. So it makes like fixing stuff hard. Same thing with cockers. Like I don't have a way to test the LPR pressure anymore or do that cool stuff. I don't have like a valve tool. Yeah. What'd they do? They did something in the late 90s and early 2000s. See, talking about blowing hoses. That's why you need a reg tester. Man. Let's see what we find on here. Auto Cocker LPR Reg Tester. What are people doing on here? Yeah. This is fucking huge. Ours was really cool. Like, we made it, so it was like somebody made it. I shouldn't even say we. It was like before me, even. Huh. That was cool. It had this like little quick release button on the side, so you can like you could like let air out and fast and stuff. And there was like a gauge on top. Pretty sweet. Can't you just use a bottle tester as a reg tester? What do you mean by bottle tester? Like, yeah. I mean, really, all the reg testers are generally all the same, you know? Like, I don't know. This thing right here. This from Inception. Okay. Let's just go. Is pretty cool. Yeah, Chris. I thought so. I just think of a tank. What'd you say? Bottle tester. I think about like, you know, hydros or something. That's what this kind of is. I mean, so you can screw right there. You can screw that I forget the thread size, but like a tank or inline regulator is going to screw in right there. And then this transducer just plugs in and then you just plug your cocker LPR right into there. But you're probably going to have to change these gauges. So, like, this is outputs up to 1400, which is really high. That's a good one, actually. What's that one? It should be really low. 180, which is good, too. So, this is that low-pressure one that you'd want to use for a cocker. And then this would work for... Really, this is probably only good for tank pressure. So something to keep in mind for gauges. Gauges are going to work the best when they work like right in this center band. So if you need to read like 180 PSI, right, you'd probably want this gauge to go to like 350. So like the 180 was more at the top. So this is good for that LPR because most LPRs in the Cockers are going to be like 60 or 80 or, you know, somewhere right in there. So it's not like too stretched out. But like this would be good for regulator or like tank pressure because your tank pressure is going to kind of probably sit up in this top band around like 500. But for a inline regulator that's going to be in this like under 200, you know, you'd want to get a different gauge. I like this quick disconnect method. This is what I did for a long time. We had an Air America Guardian and I had like a bunch of different gauge sizes though, way more than two. That's for goddamn sure. I just stuck an air pressure gauge on an old 32 degrees on off 100%. It's all the same thing. It doesn't really matter. Whatever. The one thing that's good though about like these things is one of the things that you want to definitely look for. Matt? Dude, I don't know what the fucking super chat shit. I even like went over all this shit to make sure it worked. None of it goddamn works. I appreciate super chats are freaking awesome. Any idea who's the industry magician at optimizing? I like industry magician. Damn, I have no idea. Like people servicing those guns? I don't know who's the best. I know that like there's probably one person that I know that can fix it for sure. Tim Furpo. Tim Furpo owns Paintball Tech with a K, like paintballtek.com. Tim's great. I mean, he's like a Planet Eclipse certified tech. So he like travels to tournaments for Planet Eclipse and stuff. And Tim's great. I mean, we at one point sold him. Like, so I worked for Angel Warranty Center. No, I don't know why I'm quoting that. We were the U.S. Warranty Center for a long time, and we sold him all the parts at one point. Angel stuff we had, too. So Tim's probably who I would say, but there may be somebody out there who specializes specifically in, like, old die matrixes, or the old matrix guns, too. So what I would probably do is I would go on Facebook and try to find, like, a Matrix Facebook group, like a old Matrix Facebook group. And they might be able to say there's this one guy who's like really good. He might be able to. What was I talking about? I was talking about something else and then started talking about this. Oh yeah, gauges. One of the things that's important for these testers though is I don't know about this one, but honestly, I just don't know what the easy on-off is. I haven't, like, messed with those things enough. One of the things that's important, though, like, I don't know. For instance, this is one that's made by Die. This will go on the Hyper 3 regulator, so they have those little teeny threads, like the threads I have on my DM9 over there that'll work on. But see the button on the side? The button on the side's a relief valve so that you can actually, like, let air dump out of it. So you can and let air dump out so that you can press that button and then you can watch that gauge because you want to make sure that the recharge is fast. You want that gauge to like, if it's right here and you let the air out, you want it to be like bing and like ping right back. You don't want it to like and then creep back up. So you really want to be able to like kind of test that recharge rate on, you know, whatever it is, whether that's that tank regulator or inline regulator. So you kind of can use any on-off for any ASA thing. It's just good to have one that you can, like, let air in and out of. It doesn't have to be crazy. You know, anything that just you can, you know, is a physical on-off is probably the best. So, yeah. I was looking for on-offs. I don't even have a friggin' on-off. Yeah, spiking, too. That's a very good point also. Because it'll creep. You could just, it could not even, you know, come back. It could just constantly keep going up, climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing. We're still going, right? Yeah. Okay, you know what's happening right now? The United States is playing Belgium, and I'm going to go watch it. I've been watching so much goddamn soccer. I'm starting to get into it. I don't know if that's going to happen, because it's very difficult to actually watch football in America. Not really, but, you know, it's harder. Go watch soccer, guys. Cheer on America. We'll come back We'll come back Monday, and we're going to do part two of the dead paintball gun companies or whatever. Yeah, dude, if I was in Europe, I would so be into football. I mean, you can, like, it's kind of, you know, it's just not the same here. I mean, we have, like, you know, the MLS and whatever, but it's just not, like, I don't know. Maybe if there was, like, an MLS team locally, it'd be a little different. Okay. Gentlemen, come back. I appreciate you guys. I don't know. Leave a comment. Maybe like the live stream. I'm going to go make, I don't know, beef? Some sort of nachos. I'm on another nacho kick. Okay, guys. Go watch soccer. Come back Monday. I don't know. We'll see you next time. We just gotta hit stop on all this stuff.